Good morning, everybody, and welcome to day six of Everyday January. Andrea here for another episode. So, today we are going to talk about how to feel less stressed at work and therefore have more energy at home, reduce the risk of burnout, all of that good stuff. And also just how to enjoy your job a bit more. So I myself have had a burnout that I had to leave work. I actually had to change jobs, but then that didn't help either. And got a bit better, but then I was almost on the verge of a burnout again. So I have a bit of experience with this, and I always had kind of the idea in my head that it's always the job's problem and it's not me. And in a sense, that's true. Like, there might be things that your boss does or the nature of your job that's very stressful, expectations of others. There might be unhealthy work relationships. It's true, it's the job and not you, but your reaction to that environment, that is on you, and you have so much more control than you think. And I realize now that if I accept the reality of the situation, I can then accept what I'm capable of doing in one given day, and I don't have to worry myself that somebody's going to judge me or someone's going to come and tell me I'm not doing my job properly, because I've accepted what is the realistic expectation to be put on me. And if I am doing really what I am capable of, then I am doing my job and I don't have to be anxious about that. Because I realized what caused me to become burnt out was really that I was putting all this pressure on me to basically be a superhuman. And this is extremely common in my profession. I am a nurse, and the burnout rates are extremely high. The first place I worked, there was an average burnout rate of, if you worked there for over 2 years, you're most likely going to either quit to find a new job or you're going to get burnt out and have to go on medical leave. Every single person that I started with when I started, they all left within, I was the first one to leave. And then after that, I think within a year, everyone else left. And they didn't just leave like, oh, I'm going to try to find a new job. It was really, they were on the verge of a mental breakdown. And some places are really just horrible to work. And that is the first step in kind of when you're going through this, is this situation just not worth trying to work through? And is it possible for me to find a new job? Would it be worth it? In my profession, it's actually very easy to move around. So you could change units, you could change hospitals. I'm very lucky. If I wanted to move provinces or really even countries, I could essentially have a job. And it would be different because it would still be my profession, but there's so many different areas that I could work. So if your profession is anything like that, or if you are somewhere that's really, really bad and you don't think this situation can rectify, I highly recommend changing jobs. I have changed jobs. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe. I think this is my fifth area that I've worked in now. And it's really worth changing to find somewhere that you like. But like I said, there is so many things that you can actually do to make your daily work day much better. And I didn't know that I had these options. And maybe other places that I would have worked, I wouldn't have necessarily left if I had these tools for myself. So, as I said before, it's really your reaction to situations. And we've been talking about this a lot in regards to just, I guess, everything in your life, everything in my life. I realize that I have the power to kind of decide what emotions I'm going to project out into the world and what energy I'm going to let in. And when you learn to navigate that, it's like you're superhuman and it's really cool. So let me think of an example. So let's say you're at work and let me give like an office job as an example. So let's say there's tons of work being piled up and piled up and piled up, and it just seems like there's no ending, and you start feeling panicked and you're starting to have anxiety because you're like, how am I ever going to get this done? This is crazy. So I found that what I do, I mean, I don't have work piling up like that. It's a different type of work, but what is a realistic amount of work that you can get done in your day? And then that is now your goal. And if anyone else has expectations that you should be doing more than that, then that is really kind of their problem because you're not a superhuman, you're not a robot, you're not, it's, there's no job that should make you give everything to. You can't be sacrificing your well-being for this job. And I used to give everything, like my sweat, my tears, like I was giving my blood kind of thing to this job. And did it make my boss respect me more? Absolutely not. Did it make anything better? No, it did not. All it did was basically burn me out to a point where I couldn't even function as a person at work or not, and that is not helpful to anyone. Your boss is always going to want you to work harder than you are, but that's their problem, okay? They can have unrealistic expectations, but you're human and you're only capable of doing what you are capable of, and you know those limits for you. And I find kind of once you realize that you can only get done what you can get done, it almost completely takes off the anxiety because the anxiety for me was thinking that I wasn't doing my job properly. And when I started to trust myself and trust my instinct and say, no, I'm doing literally all that I can do. That I'm like, okay, I'm not in trouble. Like I'm just doing my job and this is what I can do. And it sounds so silly, I think, when I say it out loud. It seems so obvious, but it's not. And at least in nursing, it's really hard because you're dealing with people's health and sometimes life or death situations. And there are times where it feels like you have to be superhuman and that you have to go above and beyond. But I've learned there's the difference between just kind of doing what you're trained to do and facing kind of like, let's say, a life or death situation. There is still only a certain amount that you could do in that situation. And I think it's best to just kind of focus your energy the best you can. Don't be distracted by anything else in that moment and be like, okay, this is my priority, and I'm going to focus all my energy into this. And if there's other things going on, like if other patients want me, but I'm in this really life or death situation, they can all wait. And if they're upset, that really doesn't matter because my priority and my clinical judgment right now is to focus on this other situation. And I think I used to take everyone's emotions and my boss, my coworkers, my patients' families, I used to take all of their expectations and disappointments and all of their pain and my patients' suffering and things like that. I would take it all to heart. And I thought that I kind of needed to do that because I felt like the system wasn't fair. And I feel like there was already we're so short nurses, and already people aren't really getting, I guess, the care that they deserve. And so I took all of that weight upon myself when it's really not me as an individual's responsibility to carry the weight of the healthcare system on my shoulders. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. The first job I had, I was 19 years old. That's when I graduated nursing school, and I was 19 years old. And the floor I worked on was very, very crazy. And what was really hard for me, because this was my everyday going to this job. This was my job. But my patients and my patients' families, they're having the worst day of their life, potentially. They're very sick. They're not exactly sure what's going on. They might be in pain. They might be nauseous. There's not good things happening. And I'm there just there every day, kind of facing this. And in their eyes, they have to be like priority because they're having the worst day of their life. How could I not get to them first? Like, this is a crisis. Whereas all of my patients are kind of having crises. And I have to then choose kind of, okay, who do I go to first? Also, oh, I need to go to the bathroom, but wait, do I go to the bathroom, or that's going to take another 5 minutes to get pain medication to this patient? So who am I to say that I can go to the bathroom when this person's in pain? Or then I wouldn't take my lunch break because I'd be like, well, if I take my lunch break, then the other nurses are not going to have time to take care of all of these other patients, because when you go on break as a nurse, just other nurses take care of your patients on top of their patients. So if everyone's really sick on the unit, often nurses don't take their breaks because it's either unsafe or you just feel so guilty that you know that while you're on your lunch break, people aren't getting the care that they need. There's going to be like delays in their pain medication. It might take a very long time for someone to answer a call bell. And this was so hard to navigate for me because, like I said, like all of your patients are having the worst day of your life, and then this is just your everyday coming in and trying to navigate how to prioritize their needs, whereas still treat yourself with respect and as a human. Because when you're faced with it, it seems like, no, well, I have to give this patient their care right away, let's say. But at the same time, you're like, I haven't eaten in 10 hours, so you should eat. And these were 12-hour shifts I was doing, and I wouldn't take breaks. And it was just normal on that unit. It was just normal. Everyone was doing it, and it became a culture. And, sometimes you would say, okay, I'm going on break, and people might be like, oh, but it's busy. But if everyone kind of does take their break, then you're going to be more efficient in the work that you do. And also, a solution long term to this problem is not just all the nurses basically overworking for their entire career, because that's just miserable and it's not good for anyone. Because the thing is, yeah, your boss and higher up in management, of course, they don't care if you take your breaks or not. They would rather you just work. They want you to come in for overtime shifts instead of having to hire other people. It's just easier for them. But if you kind of start to not accept that and just start to accept that you need to sometimes make choices for yourself. Like, and I needed to make choices for myself. I needed to say, you know what? I feel like I'm going to pass out. I need to go take a break. And you were allowed to take a break. I was allowed to take a break. And to kind of put my foot down like that was a really big challenge. On top of that, another thing that I think is hard to navigate in the workplace is how is dealing when people are kind of talking to you without respect and how to respond to that. And I think it kind of all goes along the lines of just still people having unrealistic expectations of the situation. And what I have learned is that if someone's coming at me very aggressive, very rude, the best way to respond is to be calm and just you could still give them the information that they're requesting, but in a very calm manner and not to engage in the energy that they're sending to you. This is very hard to do. I find it really hardest, also in the job I am in now, because, like I said, people are having the worst day of their life, in and they want to know now. They don't want to wait. They're sick. Their child's sick, and you can only give them the information that you know or that you are allowed to say. And that's all you could do. And I think accepting that you only know what you know, you can only share what you can share, you can only do the tasks that you're trained to do in the time that it takes to do them and to do them well. Once I accepted that, it made me much less stressed. And I actually started to enjoy my job. So I think it all just kind of comes back to listening to yourself, listening to your needs, and not being afraid to take up space in your job. And what I mean by take up space is I always had this fear that I didn't actually deserve to be where I was, or I wasn't truly part of the team, or I had this job, but I wasn't as important as other people. And this is obviously an insecurity thing, a confidence thing, and it made me kind of hide and kind of not express my needs and not and always take the short end of the stick. So, and that takes a toll and it starts to chip away at you. And people would take advantage of that situation because people can read when you're not sure of yourself and that you're going to just accept whatever they give you. Especially your bosses, they know that if they ask you to come in overtime that you're going to do it because you're too afraid to say no, or that you're going to accept the vacation that no one else wants, or there's so many things that could happen. But if your boss is not talking to you with respect, you need to demand respect by respecting yourself first. And your whole appearance changes when you respect yourself and when you decide that you are here. Like you stand up straight. You're confident when you talk. You understand that you have rights as well. And this is not being obnoxious about it. This is not being entitled. This is just being there and just having the same rights as everyone else that is there. And it's such a scary thing. I found for me it was just very scary because I was so afraid to someone for someone to come and tell me, "No, why are you, what you have a request. You're not allowed to have any requests. You're just Andrea." Or, "Oh, like I can't believe you did this instead of this, or this first instead of this first, or that was bad judgment on your part." And I had so much anxiety thinking that I wasn't doing my job properly. But when I started to listen to myself, I could justify my actions. And if I was doing something because I had thought it through and I justified my actions, then if somebody came to me and said, "Well, why did you do this before this? Like, that wasn't very good," I could say, "This is why I did it. This is my justification." And if they said that was wrong, you could take that as constructive criticism, but it's not a personal attack. You could say, "Okay, oh, this was the right way to do it. Okay, can you explain to me why and why maybe I didn't see that?" And then next time, that is now part of your judgment. And another way to really help anxiety is at work is actually doing your job properly, not cutting corners, and learning the material you need to learn for work. And sometimes I wouldn't necessarily cut corners, but it was really just this, I was so anxious that I wouldn't get the information I needed. I thought I was interrupting my patients, let's say, or I needed to write a note in the chart, but I was too nervous to ask from it from someone. Someone else was using it, and so like I didn't write my note properly, or I rushed my note because somebody else was doing it. And then I started feeling anxious, like, "Oh, what if somebody sees that I didn't write my note properly?" Or, and it just seems so silly because I am doing my job just as like the other person that has the chart is doing my job, and I have a right to do my job just as much as the other person that's there. There's no really hierarchy. If there is, it's imaginary. And that was such a revelation for me. And it's just the same message that I've been trying to share, to kind of listen to yourself, respect yourself, and decide that you're not actually taking up too much space. You have a right to be where you are. And everyone makes mistakes, but everyone can also learn from their mistakes. And you don't have to feed into the energies of the people around you in your job. You don't have to feed into the gossip. You don't have to feed into other people's disappointments if they're unhappy with the way maybe you're doing something. If you know that you're doing it the proper way, you can have a conversation about with them about it, but you're not there to please everyone. All right, so I'm gonna leave it at that today. I hope some of this was helpful. I know it was a bit all over the place, but I think the message makes sense. Have a good rest of your day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.